still bars, sinning's everywhere, and Satan is the star. There'll be fire on the mountain, lightning in the air. Christ is coming back with fire in his hair. Fire in his hair. The man who is truth and light. There'll be fire on the mountain, lightning in the air. Christ is coming back with fire
in his hair.
Fire in his hair. You see the sad widow weeping by a grave, crying out to God why her man's been taken away, shot down in cold blood by a world that didn't care. Now she is homeless, no one seems to care. There'll be fire on the mountain, lightning in the sky. Soon you'll face eternity, so turn
before you die.
And be baptized, he died for us all. There'll be fire on the mountain, lightning in the sky. Soon you'll face eternity, so turn
before you die.
That fire burning, you hear that fire burning in the background, and well, there are fires burning now, and there's fires coming, so says the Word of God. Welcome to 7x70, coming to you live this July 6, 2017, live from the Radio Ranch, and it's a beautiful evening, blue skies, a light breeze, and about 89 degrees today. We were pretty warm, but a beautiful summer day. We thank the Lord for that. Hope you're having a blessed day too. We know there's some storms over in Nebraska, and talk to a brother over there. So we'll pray that they are delivered through the storm, and we will praise the Lord. Join me in prayer, won't you, to our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful day you give us here, Lord, this day of life. We thank you that you let us get up this morning and do it again and try again. And we thank you for your strength, for your perseverance, Lord, that even though the days grow long and weary, that, Lord, we can trust, we can rely on you. Help us to do so. Strengthen us. Help us to encourage one another, Lord, not only to love and good deeds, but, Lord, to worship of you, to recognizing that you are the Lord. You are the God of gods, the King of kings, and that your way is right. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this good weather you've given us in its season. I pray for our brethren over, Lord, I know of storms in Nebraska. I lift them up. I lift its family and friends, Lord. I lift them up to you for your safety. Lord, I commission your angels to just be about their homes and their gardens and their family. And we just pray for your protection, Lord, for all those that know you and, Lord, that you know. Father, We know your word says you love those that love you. Well, Lord, I pray for family and friends that love you, Lord, in the midst of these storms. And I say, storm, in Jesus' name, just go around those that are his. Go around. Go around them and harm them not. In Jesus' name and to your glory, we pray this, Lord. Father, I ask you to be here with me. Send your Holy Spirit to be here with me tonight on the radio. And as we have fellowship, Lord, with the remnant and with one another, that, Lord, you would guide my thoughts and my words. And that, Father, this broadcast would be a blessing to your people. Lord, we don't do it to hear ourselves talk. We don't do it to glorify self. Lord, we do it to glorify you. We do it in obedience to your word that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. And that's what we do, Lord. We encourage, we exhort. Sometimes we rebuke and offer a reproof. That may be what we do tonight, Lord. But thy will be done. We thank you for your answered prayer. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, that you went to that cross to die for a sinner like me. How humbling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that sacrifice, for redeeming your people Israel. In Jesus' name we pray this. I pray this. Amen and amen. Thursday night, here we are, the theme tonight. Well, been reading in Ezekiel this week. Hopefully you've caught up with your Bible reading plan and did a little catching up this week and read through Jeremiah, finished up Jeremiah and Lamentations, and here we are in Ezekiel. And so I thought I'd talk a little bit about that tonight. We'll start the Bible reading plan, folks. I know you've heard us talk about it, but for the Christian, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, you have to read the Word. And you might say, oh, well, I read it last year. Well, I read it last month. Well, good. Read it again today. Part of it. Turn your radio on, the old gospel, country gospel song says. I wish I'd have had that to play tonight, but I couldn't find it in my stack of CDs. But that is one of the ways we turn our radio on. Is we tune in to what God has to say for us. And if you're asking, if you are seeking, if you're knocking and doing his will, he will answer you. He will, our Heavenly Father, he has the Holy Spirit. We will be given the answers to the questions that we have. If we ask, if we seek, if we knock. If you sit on the couch and drink beer, well, you're not going to get the answers from God that you may be asking. If you're not asking the questions, you're not going to get them. Just mentioned it last night, the Wednesday evening prayer meeting, but we gather on Wednesday morning, gather with some Judeo-Christian men. They're Christian men, but they're learning. They're learning. We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about godly things. We meet for a prayer breakfast, and they go to a local church here, and kind of interdenominational. And I encourage you out there, folks, to do something along those lines. If you're secure in your Christianity, share. Be a good positive influence in the community. If you're a Christian man, find a men's prayer breakfast. They're probably going on. Our brother John attends one in Fort Collins, and we've been doing one here for a year and a half. And I encourage you to do that. It will be encouraging to them when you can, and you don't have to go in there preaching and teaching from the start. But if you go in there and pray with them, encourage them with your prayers, and you'd be surprised. Yesterday morning, we only had a few in there, not the normal. Usually have 12 to 18 or so, but we kind of got to talking about what was right, what was wrong, and this arbitrary, and the topic of sin came up. What is sin? And the men there kind of had a puzzled look on their face. You know, we talked about how, you know, sin is still sin. Right is right, wrong is wrong, and sin is sin. It is as simple as that. And they, yeah. And then I said, you know, and we just stand on what sin is. And about three of them kind of had a puzzled look on their face. And so we said, you know, well, sin, we can look in 1 John 3:4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Now, that may not be part of a Judeo-Christian ethic, but those Judeo-Christians got a Christian Bible study for just a real short one, in that let's use the Bible to define right and wrong and sin. And sin is lawlessness. And then we went over, we talked about Matthew 5. Let's go over to Matthew 5. If you have your Bibles, just a short little Bible study here. We've got some current events I wanted to share with you tonight if I get a chance to, but just a little Bible study here that came up, like I said, yesterday morning. If I can get over here to Matthew 5, and it's the words of Christ, and we'll start about verse 14, you are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Verse 17, this is the words of Jesus Christ. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Well, folks, look around. Does it look like all is accomplished today? No. All is not accomplished. So guess what? The smallest letter or stroke, not one jot or tittle of the law has passed. The law is still the law. And sin is still breaking that law. It is still lawlessness, just like it was in the days of Cain and Abel. It still is today. It doesn't matter if the church you go to lets women preach. It's still wrong. It doesn't matter if the church you try to go to out there allows filthy homosexuals in to be part of the church, practicing, not repentant, but practicing adulterers. What church would welcome someone comes in and has an affair with the church secretary and wrecks her marriage, destroys her marriage, her husband moves away, and they just stay there in an adulterous relationship? Does that happen? That's sin. Sin is sin. It is as simple as that. It is lawlessness. All who practice lawlessness sin. Now, Christ tells us, I didn't come to do away with the law. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day, that's what they accused him of. They accused him of blasphemy. And you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Judeos today accuse him, they think like, because I think they're taught from the pulpit the same thing. Oh, that law's been done away with, brother. We're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. Well, we absolutely are. We are saved by grace through faith. And thank God we are, because Christ did, of course, on the cross what the law could not. We understand that. But the words of Christ are still there. He didn't come to abolish the law. He fulfilled it. It didn't do away with it. And lawlessness reigns today in the land. You heard our brother Paul, thankfully, joined us on prayer meeting last night, and he mentioned that very thing. The heart of man has grown cold. Why? We see that all around us. We see the heart of man that has grown cold. Nobody gives a rip out there anymore, for the most part. And I'm speaking in generalities. When you're driving, oh, you hear about road rage. Oh, you look at the news, you're about a young police lady sitting in her police car in New York City. Someone comes up and just kills her, just out of the blue. Some gang initiation. It is lawlessness. Lawlessness reigns, and the heart of man has grown cold. And we talked about this in our little Wednesday morning prayer meeting a little bit, and of all the laws that are passed by government, that, you know what, 12,000 new laws a year? We talked about how it all went back to the people when they rejected Samuel and they rejected they rejected God our King. When they said, no, we want a king like everybody else. And I was able to share this with this small Bible group or prayer group. And the looks on their face, it was like, what? But we have to remember that's why we have all these laws today. Because we rejected God as king way back then. And we've still rejected him. And so we have this today. Anyway, it was a pretty good little prayer breakfast, I can tell you, prayer meeting. And had good breakfast down at Denny's. It wasn't bad. And so I encourage you, as we all are growing, you don't have to walk into a prayer breakfast and be proud or haughty or try to take over. That's not what we're saying at all. But you can be a part of that. You can be a positive, godly Christian influence. I got to share with these men. They mentioned about the country being founded. It's just after July 4th, and we've seen all the celebrations and the country being founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic. And I asked the person. I said, "Well, you know, think about what you've just said. And I know you just said it because you've just heard it, and you're just repeating it." And I said, "But the country, this country of America, was not founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic. It was not. It was founded on a Christian ethic." "Oh well, yeah." And I said, "But wait, let's think about that. When Christianity, Jesus Christ is the center, the Son of God. Judaism denies Christ. So how can you have this country founded on an ethic that denies Christ and counts Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And you can't." And it wasn't. It was founded on a Christian ethic. And I shared this with the men, and that kind of makes sense. And so I encourage you to do that. Not that I've done anything great, not at all. But plant seeds. Plant seeds. When we share these truths with others, let's do it like Christ did. You can put the truth out there. You can do it in love. You can do it with a little sprinkling of salt. Don't take the top off the container and dump it on the truth. A little bit of salt. A little bit of salt. But you put that truth out there. You can't do it if you're not there. How are you going to teach if you don't go to where they are? See, that's what Christ did. Christ went to the tax gatherers, remember? And he went to the prostitutes. And he went to the dregs of society. And he sat down with the common people, the fishermen, and the crowds came around him. There were times that he went off with just his disciples, but there were times that he went to, you know, the doctor had to go to those that were sick. And that's what Christ did, and that's what he calls for us to do. I wasn't planning on talking about this tonight, but I guess it's just on my heart. That we do have to, it's not that we have to live our entire life that way, but make sure that something, integrate that part of Christ's ministry, the example he gives us, integrate that into your life some way, somehow. Maybe it's making a point to talk about Jesus to the person in the grocery store checkout counter. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the person at the gas station or the convenience store or the laundromat or the dry cleaners or the bank or whatever. You may not have a group that meets for prayer. But I bet you do. And I bet if you go in there and introduce yourself and act like a Christian, the Christian that you're supposed to be, that they'll welcome you in there. You don't have to get into philosophies. You don't have to go in there and say, "Well, I believe this, and I know this, and you're wrong about that." That's not how Christ did it. That's not how Jesus, our example, did it. He asked questions, and he didn't do it with a haughty attitude, asking a question. He already knew the answer, but he asked questions that made people think. That made people think. So I encourage you to do that. I do. back to our Bible reading plan. In Ezekiel, reminding the people. The prophet Ezekiel is given to him. I hope you, if you've been reading through it, he's reminding the people of the sins that led to their captivity. And you know, folks, when we talk about sin today, that this society, this world tries to throw up in our face and make us recognize and make us accept it as just the norm and the normal. When you read Ezekiel, when you see of women boiling and eating their babies, when you read of the famine that was in the land, when you read of the princes busting through the wall and running away and escaping at night, trying to run away from the terror. When you read of the those that were in the fields are killed by the sword, and those in the homes by famine and pestilence and plague, you better pay attention to sin. You better pay attention, and you better turn away from it. First, you better recognize what it is. Yeah, it's something that God doesn't like. It's something that God disapproves. Yeah, it's an abomination before Him. Absolutely it is. You better get your Bibles out and see what it is, because the way the prophet Ezekiel came against the house of the children of God that we read about in the book of Ezekiel, because of their sin, he should be walking the streets of America shouting it out on the internet and public media and everywhere else today. Have you been reading it? Do you know how it hurts God to see this heavenly kingdom that he put up just a couple hundred years later had turned to him? How it hurts God? Did you read that in Ezekiel this week? It's Ezekiel 6. Remember how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me. You know, if we love I speak to the husbands, if we love our wives, we do our best to not do things that hurt them. Wives, you know, you should do your best to not do things that you know what will hurt your husband. Children, even if you're a 50-year-old child, you know, we try not to do things that we know will hurt our parents. Or parents, we do our best to do things, we don't do things that we know will hurt our children or our friends or our loved ones. But yeah, we hurt God. Oh well. That seems to be the attitude today. And God is not mocked. The book of Ezekiel tells, it tells through, and of the abominations and the horror, the famine, the killings. Oh God, we see it today. Oh Father, we cry out today, oh Heavenly Father, awaken your people, open their eyes, have them have a desire to please you. Lord, we pray that you would just soften the people's hearts, that you would unstop their ears, let them hear your word, let them feel your Holy Spirit. Let them turn, Lord. Let us turn from our wicked ways and remember you. Father, we look around and we see the murder and the killings and the rage of the ungodly. Lord, they howl like dogs, like wolves, like they howled at Christ at the time of his crucifixion. Lord, they howl today. How long, O Lord? How long? Strengthen your people, Lord. We rely on you. We look to you, our fortress, our rock from which we were hewn. We look to you, Lord, and we stand on that rock. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our left hand, but it shall not come upon us that trust in you. It shall not. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for these abominations in our land, Lord, for it proves that your word is true. It proves your word is true. Lord, we also thank you for that remnant that hears, and not only hears and believes, but obeys. Strengthen us all as we do so, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Read through Ezekiel folks. If you haven't, how many times does God say that turn, repent? We see that story of repentance all through Ezekiel. Here it is where was it? I had it marked. You can read it in chapter 14. Repent. Chapter 14, verse 6 of Ezekiel. Repent and turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. Repent and live. It's always been the story. That's the Christian story. That's the gospel story. Repent and live, or sin and die. The wages of sin is death. It's still that way. Hasn't changed. Doesn't matter who's the governor or the mayor. Ezekiel 14, verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, even cut it off from both man and beast. And then he goes on and says, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, who were righteous, were in its midst, by their own righteousness they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord. And he goes on through and on and on and on. What is he saying? Repent and turn away. Repent and turn away. Because the destruction is coming. It is coming. You read a little earlier, we read a few days ago in Ezekiel 9, the vision of slaughter. When God says, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of JERUSA. Go through the midst of JERUSALEM. And put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. And see, this angel does that. The glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub, and the man clothed in linen. You got to read it. Don't have time here in 55 minutes to tell you the whole story, but you need to read it. And you need to have that mark. Don't worry about that mark of the beast. You worry about having the mark of Christ. Sighing and groaning out at these abominations instead of going along with them in our land today. Repent and turn away. And as chapter 16 ends up, God says, I have forgiven you for all that you have done. Oh, it is today. It is today. He talks about righteousness. He talks about that not just Christ, but that personal accountability, personal responsibility. It's those persons that make up that country, whether it sins or whether it does right in the eyes of God. See, it begins in my life. It begins in my home. It begins in your life, in your home, in the choices you make, in the choices I make. The choices that each of us make, whether to serve God, whether to tell others about Christ, whether, you know, to speak up when someone curses in front of me and say, hey, you know, can't you find a better word to use than that? Verse 30 reminds me of Revelation. Ezekiel 18, verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct. Each, I will judge you, each according to his conduct. That sounds familiar. Where have I read that before? Where have we read that before? I will judge you, each according to his conduct. Let's see if it doesn't say something like that right here at the very end. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. See, it's nothing new. This New Testament is a repeat of the old, a retelling, a greater understanding. We see the same thing there. They were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Revelation 20:13. Ezekiel 18:30, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct. How's your conduct been, America? How's your conduct been? How do you treat the widow? How do you treat the orphan? How do you treat your veterans? How do you treat the unborn, America? What are the laws of the land regarding these unborn children, America? I see the phone line ringing. Let me get my Bible down. I'll get right over to it. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great.
You know, in Ezekiel where it tells you that about the mark on the forehead?
Yes.
That word mark, that is interpreted as mark, that was actually the Greek word tau. And that the tau in Greek is, the letter tau in Greek is actually the shape of a cross. See, that was prefiguring the cross already in Ezekiel, the cross, the mark of the cross on the forehead already. That many thousands of years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
You'll see that again later on. I think it's in Revelation. You'll see this again about that mark
yes.
on the forehead.
You know, it references, it's interesting you say that. I've got it marked, and it references back that word, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark. I have a reference Bible, and that mark, it references back to Exodus 12:7. You know what that mark is? Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses. And when he sees that mark, when he saw the blood, he passed over him. And when he sees it again, he'll pass over again. Thanks for bringing that out. Got it. Worry about having that mark of Christ. Don't worry about the mark of the beast. Have this mark. Have this mark in your life and on your forehead, in your life.
And you have that reference coming out again. Do you remember at the battle when Moses and Ben-Hur and those guys were up on that, they were during that battle, and they were holding his arms up?
Yes.
They were holding his arms up in the shape of a cross. And as long as he held his arms up out, they were out, not straight up, they were out in the shape of a cross. As long as he stood there like that and they held his arms up, they were winning the battle, which was prefiguring that, you know, as long as you're in that cross, you're winning the battle. You know, you're winning the battle.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It does. It points to, you know, just as all of Ezekiel, it's, you know, God is right. God is righteous, and he does all that he does here. He says time after time to let them know that, because they will know that I am the Lord. I will do this and this. See, he's presented himself to him, to these people before, and they turned away from him. And he said, I'll do this. He testifies of himself, and it is. It's a prophecy, a testimony of Christ coming. I like how he says here, I think I read it a second ago, yeah, the end of chapter 16, he says, that you may remember, well, verse 62 and 63, thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, so that you may remember and be ashamed, and never open your mouth anymore because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares. And he was telling them then, even though I'm all but wiping you out, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to make a way. I'm going to judge you. He says in verse 23, one of my favorite verses, chapter 18, verse 23, he says, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather that he should turn from his ways and live? See, God has compassion even on the wicked, even though we don't have compassion on them. Even we say, just kill them, God. Burn them. God has compassion on those people, on the wicked. He doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants the wicked to return, to repent and return. If he wants the wicked to repent and return, how much more does he want us to?
Now, on the issue of sin, you know, that yep. visits itself upon, you know, his judgment on you by on a national level.
Yes.
You know, as a personal level, we're told something very important in 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you know, your modern Judeo-Christian churches argue the point that they say inheriting the kingdom of God has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with eternal life.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did an extensive study on this thing, and inheriting the kingdom of God, it means your salvation. That's eternal life.
Yeah.
And when it's telling you, know you not that you shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and it gives you a list of the things that will keep you out of there, you best pay attention to
that. Amen. Amen to that.
You can call yourself a Christian, you can call yourself anything you want, but if you're doing those things, you're in trouble. Or you're going to be in big trouble if you don't stop.
Amen. These things are sin. That's like those Judeo-Christians I were talking to. Good men. But they just haven't been taught. For one thing, they haven't been taught. And the Bible defines sin, and it has not changed. And it will not change. And this 1 Corinthians 6, this should be preached this Sunday in every church. It should. Because it goes on, and it's not condemnation. Christ didn't condemn. He goes on. I think, who was it? Paul wrote this. He goes on and says, and such were some of you.
That's right.
And he includes himself in that. He was a murderer. He was it says, do not be deceived. See, why? Because he was deceived. It was his own fault. But he was believing the wrong thing and not believing the right thing. So he leads it off that way. He says, don't be deceived. And I picture in my mind him writing this, him dictating this, whatever he did, writing and saying, do not be deceived and thinking like I was.
Well, like the whole modern churches.
Absolutely.
I'm all right with it.
Yeah, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Such were some of you. But then he goes on, what? But you were washed. See, you were cleansed of these things. So if we are cleansed of these things, just like he was, just like the Apostle Paul had his blinding road experience, his Damascus road experience, go read about it, and then he got baptized. Then he got baptized. So folks, it's not just belief. It's not just, I was on the tractor that day, and a shining light came down, and I'm saved. No, brother, you've had an experience like Paul, but you need to repent and be baptized. So... Well, brother, I got another call coming. Hey, thanks for calling and giving that reference there in Ezekiel. That I had that marked, but I appreciate you doing that. That was great.
It's so interesting to know that.
It is. Oh, it's great. Hey, thanks, brother.
Have a good
God bless.
Bye.
Good evening. Thanks for holding. Welcome to 7x70.
Hello, Richard. This is Kenneth from Louisiana.
Hey, Kenneth.
Yes, good to hear your voice. The Apostle Paul said, Brother Richard, that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Our tutor, and that's right.
Exactly right. And I can't help but notice how many of the evangelical churches I know are acting like Unitarian churches of yesteryear. I mean, there's no law. They're pretty much anarchist as far as God's law is concerned. They give a cheap grace gospel, and
you're right.
People, yeah, and I see y'all people today. We have race mixing sluts. We have tattoo tramps. We have drugs in our race. We have fornication, and the church, the modern churches there ain't doing a good job. And that Jeremiah 23 talks about that. But our people are not coming to Christ by and large. But I have good news. Isaiah 4:4 says, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem.
Yes.
So God wants to purge. He's going to purge our people.
Amen.
To remove the filth out of our daughters.
Amen. Amen. And his blood cleanses. His blood cleanses. And I want to know, and I agree with you, Kenneth. I think that's sound biblical doctrine. We'll talk about it a little bit. Let's expand on it. Now, if you're tattooed up, okay, out there, and now you've come to Christ, the true Jesus Christ, not just raised your hand and oh Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive me, okay? There's more to it than that. But you can be cleansed. Yeah, tattooing Absolutely. Your body to be a Christian, it's not something we're to do as Christians. Many people have been deceived. Many people have done that. When you come to Christ, His blood can cleanse that. His blood can cleanse you being a tramp, like you said, Kenneth, out there. He can cleanse that. He can make you new again. That's what He does. And guess when He does it? When we share in the likeness of His death, when we share in that, in repentance and water, full immersion, water baptism, then the old man, the old person, the old tramp, the old whore, the old rascal, the old reviler, the old liar, the old adulterer, the old homosexual, just like we just read in 1 Corinthians, the old sinner dies in that watery grave. And then you can come up a new creation. And if that is symbolic of sharing in the death of Christ so that we can share in the glory of His resurrection. But you have to share in one to share in the other. And
that's right. Well, you can count me in as far as the abominations of the land for those who mourn. I'm one of them. So keep up the message tonight. Thank you, Brother Richard.
Thank you, Kenneth. God bless. Well, folks, phone lines are open, live radio tonight. We've got about 10 more minutes, 307-745-5913. Here in Matthew 24:9, Jesus is exposing and rebuking the Pharisees, and he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! You tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." And the Farrar Fenton Bible describes those a little different. Here at the New American Standard, he says, "You have neglected justice and mercy and faithfulness." The Farrar Fenton says, "You have neglected humanity, sympathy, faith." And so ask yourselves, look in the mirror, look at your own lives, folks. Have you neglected the weightier matters, the weightier provisions of the law, according to Jesus Christ, not according to what you think the weightier matters are, and not according to what I think, but according to what Jesus Christ said? Have we neglected justice? Have we neglected mercy or sympathy? Have we neglected faithfulness, faith? And we have in this country. Hey, we're doing our best. We're trying. The remnant, we're trying to get back to that kingdom way, to that kingdom thinking, to that kingdom righteousness. How about that kingdom responsibility? That kingdom responsibility that we have to forgive. And that kingdom responsibility we have to pray for one another. And that kingdom responsibility we have to help one another, to remember sympathy, to remember mercy. How about that kingdom responsibility we have to tithe? Let's not forget that. How about that kingdom responsibility to read His Word, to draw nearer to God so that He will draw nearer to us? We read that throughout the Scripture. We want to be better. Well, if you want to be better, guess what? Be better. If you want to draw near to God, then do it. Like the old Nike commercial, just do it. Repent. Change if change is needed. Change if change is needed in your life. Get up 10 minutes early. Set your alarm. You can do it right now. Set your alarm 10 minutes early for tomorrow. Get up 10 minutes early. Turn the coffee on. And while it's perk, 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 and chug, chug, chugging, open your Bible to Ezekiel. Tomorrow the Bible reading is Ezekiel 19 through 24. Read it. Read part of it anyway. Flip over to the New Testament. Read a few of the red letters if you have a red letter Bible. Just a few of them. Hey, it's a start. It's a step in the right direction. You know, these are, and you may think, oh, well, that's just some basic stuff I don't need to hear. If you're not doing this, if you're not reading your word, if you're not praying for others, if you're not forgiving as Christ forgave, you need to be. You need to be. You need to forgive so that God will forgive you. Because if you don't forgive those that have come against you, God won't forgive you. It's as simple as that. So we have to forgive. You can read that. The program name, 7x70, it comes from Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. I encourage you. If you'll take a homework assignment, I'll give you a homework assignment. Read Matthew 18, 21 through the end of the chapter. Read it. We are to read the word. We are to be as, who was it, the Bereans who studied the scriptures, who to studied out the matter to see if it was so. Read the parable that Christ gives, the lesson he gives on forgiveness. A few minutes left, 307-745-5913. And, did see some current events. Just a mess here. I didn't get to watch it. I don't watch the news, but I see that our president was overseas, I guess in Poland, and he was making a statement, from what I can gather, talking about defending civilization, talking about the merits of the Western world, the merits of Western race and Western civilization, and defending faith. I think he's drawing a line in the sand, folks. I really think he is. I want to ask you, have you prayed for him? Have you prayed for our president? Have you prayed for safety for his trip? Have you prayed for safety for Vice President Pence, who I believe is still in the country? God forbid, if something happens to the president, the vice president has to be somewhere else so he can assume the duties. Have you prayed for our leaders? Let's do that now. Heavenly Father, we come to you, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we do as your word commands. We pray for the city we live in. We pray for the country we live in, Lord. We pray for its leaders. Father, we pray for a revival. I pray, Lord, that our city leaders here in this city, in this county, in this state, that, Lord, they would turn to you, that they would open your Bible, that they would be convicted by the Holy Spirit of sin in their lives, and, Lord, that they would repent, that they would fall down on their knees, and they would repent, and they would cry out to you, Lord Jesus, and that you would hear them and forgive them. And, Lord, raise them up. Let them get back on their feet, Lord, as Christian men. And let them be obedient to your word and take your word, Lord, our mayors and our governors and our president and our congressmen, our senators, that, Lord, they would apply your word, they would read it and apply it in the laws that they pass and in the judgments that they make and in their daily lives. And, Lord, we come against sin, which is lawlessness, and, Lord, we're tired of it reigning. We want you to reign, Lord. We want you, Lord Jesus, and your perfect will, your perfect law to reign and rule supreme, Lord. We know it'll come one day, Lord. We pray for it today. Help us to usher that in, Lord, to usher in your kingdom, your word, your will, your way, your law. Let it once again be the law of the land here in this nation, Lord. Protect our president while he's overseas. Strengthen him, Lord, and let the mighty light of your Shekinah light, Lord, let it shine and protect around him. And let all that see, Lord, let them be amazed. Let them be amazed and in awe. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers as your word commands. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, folks, thanks for joining us tonight. Go out with a song, or Brother Paul did. Want to encourage you to join us Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open. and we'll welcome your calls and comments. And thanks again for tuning in, and I pray that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you, make his face and countenance shine upon you, and that he would bless you with good health, with peace and prosperity. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All there'll be fire on the mountain, lightning in the sky.